Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Ella Barnard. She's the author of many indie published steamy romance stories under the pen name Liz Fox. She also hosts her own podcast, Author Like a Boss. Ella, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much, Jeff, for having me.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your steamy romance stories that you publish under the pen name Liz Fox, how would you describe many of the stories that you write?
Ooh, well, they're short. They're short and steamy, so they're meant to be read in about an hour and a half. And I'll tell you, like, the one of the first ones, they're basically like little fantasy insta-love, like exactly out. They're contemporary, but they're like a woman's fantasy stories that happens quite quick so that you have like a little pop of romance into your life. So that's how I would. Oh, but mine always include strong women and curvy women because I like my women heroes to be, you know, strong. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us about your initial writing journey that led you to writing your first stories?
Yes. So I've been reading for my whole life. Reading was my escape, my salvation, you might say. And then just like gradually over time, well, my mom always like, Ella, you're so good at being the analytical one. And my sister was the creative one. So I kind of put it out of my mind that I could be a writer for a while. But I found myself like collecting books about writing and reading. Like, I've read Bird by Bird multiple times, you know, all the kind of standard classics on writing. And then I wanted to start my own business. You know, I lived in Silicon Valley for a while. So I was like, what can I love? What do I love? And what am I good at? What could I start? And that didn't lead to writing, actually. That led to me just wanting to do stuff with books and then being in the indie publishing, because that was, you know, kind of about the time when it started becoming a possibility for people. And so I'm like, ooh, learning all about it. And gradually, I just kind of got into the whole, just the community, started trying to help people. And because I am analytical. But I'm also creative. and so gradually I was like, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. I started my podcast. I'm talking to people because I just love the industry and the people. I love writers. Like, it's magic to me that people just create stuff out of their mind and we all get to consume it and live it. And so I decided to try it myself. I had not written fiction before. Didn't know exactly what I was doing. So I was like, short romance, because I've always loved romance. Like, that seems like a doable place to start. So I started, and the first story came about. The first story was based on, it was called Right on Time. And it was actually based on a personal experience of mine. Well, it was inspired by a personal experience of mine where I it did not happen that way. But what happened was I'd been single for a long time, not when I wrote it, but what it's inspired. I'd been single for a while and I, you know, dating online, and there was some guy who was like, hey, you want to meet at Starbucks? And I was like, sure, let's go. And so he was at the Starbucks when I got there already. And I was like, oh, hi, you know, he was out sitting outside because it's a nice day. And I went, I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. I'm going to go in and get a drink. I'll be right back and we can chat. And I went in and got my drink. And when I came back out, he was gone. And I looked over and I saw him driving away and he kind of saluted me like from the window as he drove away.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was like, I can laugh about it now because I'm a lot more, you know, confident in myself. But at the time, I was like, oof. And so when I started, I was like, okay, what do I need an idea for writing this story? I was like, you know what I would really like is to rewrite the ending on that experience. And so I didn't have him be awesome. I had there be another guy who saw the whole thing sitting at the next table over. And that, you know, who was like, that jerk, I'm going to take care of this woman, that kind of thing, and rescue. And then happily ever after, you know, yada, yada,
Right.
H-E-A. Yeah. So that's what that's. And then I just started to keep going. And then I kept going. Yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah. What led you to indie publishing your novels? Do you remember how it felt when you hit publish on your first romance story?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it required a lot of tequila. I mean, a lot of tequila for me, which is like a couple shots, like a shot and then another shot later, because it's like almost a panic attack, just because it's very, you know, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to be like, oh, other people now are going to have access to, you know, and mine was a personal, it started from a personal story, you know, like it started from something that really did happen to me. So it was scary and exciting though, because it's like, well, maybe something will happen with this, you know, maybe this will be a real thing that people like. And it was. So yeah. Yeah. That's what happened.
So when did you publish your first story?
So yeah, this came out just in January 2020. It was just, you know, not that long ago in the scheme of things. When you talk about like when I started collecting books about writing, we're talking like decades, mm-hmm. You know, but the writing itself, I decided in December, I was like, I'm going to try this. And I said, I'm going to do it in January. I'm going to finish this book by January. And it's like a 10,000 word novel. So it's not like super duper long. You know, you're talking like 40 pages. It's mm-hmm. not very long. So it should have been that even like going at, you know, snail pace, which I'm not a fast writer. It still should have been plenty of time. But about mid-January, we're like, you know, if we're talking like the 11th or 12th of January or something, maybe a little, I was like, uh-oh, I am not done. I need to get on if I want to keep my word to myself of publishing in January, because I'd said, you know, I'll publish in January. And so I got on. I was like, okay, let's do it. And it came out on January 31st. Came out on January 31st.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, how many have you published since then?
I'm not exactly sure at this point, but it's somewhere around like 50. So, for a while I was, starting there, you know, because I also, you know, because I have talked to so many successful authors on my own podcast, I realized that, you know, if I wanted more people to see it and read it, then publishing more, you know, than just one book was required. So I was releasing about a book every other week for a while.
And what, a long what time. Made you decide on that kind of aggressive publication schedule?
Well, first I looked at other authors in the same kind of category, you know, in the short romance category, and they're publishing, most of them are publishing like once a week. A lot of them are publishing once a week. And I was like, that's too fast for me. I went every other week. And then I conscripted a friend of mine who's also an author who I met, you know, in the community. And I was like, do you want to try this? And so in order to have a faster release schedule without having to do, you know, as much work, we would write series together. So she'd write one, then I'd write one, then she'd write one. And so we could release a series once a week with both of us just doing every other week releases.
And how are you finding that in terms of publishing that often and your success as an indie author?
Yeah, there's a large correlation between, it's not alone, right? Like there's a large correlation between the speed of publishing, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's not the only, thing. It has to be a good book that people enjoy.
Sure.
You know, like it has to be well-written and, with a good cover, you know, all the things. But you know, romance readers especially, but a lot of readers in genre fiction, you know, they read. They are readers. You know, they will keep reading. If they find an author they like, they will read everything they have. And of course, you know, they can read a lot, heck of a lot faster than I can write. You know what I mean? So if I found somebody who liked my books, and, you know, which I did, I found quite a few people that enjoyed them. You know, there was a, you know, it's nice to be able to, for the readers, to be able to just keep reading.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, given that publication schedule, what does your writing process and what does your writing schedule look like?
Well, after a little while of, you know, after about a year and a half, a year and some of writing, you know, with this co-author friend, this author we were doing, you know, series, you know, alternating, we decided, you know, we would read each other's books for each other because that was part of the way that we kind of saved on, you know, like expenses of editing and proofreading, because we would always read each other's books because it's, you know, that's a lot of books to be releasing, a lot of things to make sure you're not putting out bad quality. So we decided to start co-writing because we have very complementary skills. Like I like the outlining and I like the revising a lot. And she likes the actual writing part. And then I'm terrible at description. Like if I'm just like, she walked into the house, and then, you know, into the kitchen, done. You know, like that's my level of description. Like, right. Where are they? And she's like, can you tell us a little more about the kitchen? And I'm like, no, like, there is a stove, you know, and she likes that stuff. She likes the description part and I like the feeling part, yada, yada. So we're very complementary strengths. So we started co-writing after a while, because like, hey, if that's hard for you and this is hard for me and we both are good at the things that you know, why don't we do it together? So we started doing that. And that has been really exciting. And I can't even remember where you started with the question. That's how much I've been babbling. Okay, go ahead.
That's okay. That's okay.
Did I answer it?
You did. Well,
okay.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, many of your novels feature curvy women. Was that a deliberate decision on your part in terms of writing and publication?
Yes. So I went into, like, I researched a bit because I know, I have a strong feeling that writers should write what they love. Like a very power, like I think you should write what you love, but I also think that you should look and see what people are really enjoying. So I went into the Facebook group. I sound very deliberate about this, but I did. I went to the Facebook group of one of the top authors in the genre, and people love her. Like they love her, Hope Ford. And so I was like, hey, I just started reading Hope Ford, which I had. And I was like, what do you really love about her books? Like, what are your favorites? And, you know, her fans love her. And so it was like 50 responses in a day. But one thing that came up quite often was, you know, she includes curvy women. Now, I myself am a curvy woman. So that's part of the like, oh, I love the idea, but it's also popular. So it was this kind of overlap of like, this is something that people really love. It's not represented that much in romance, you know, having women that are not physically perfect, like emotionally, yes, you have to have the arcs and things, but having women that are not physically ideal, you don't actually find as much. They may be neutral, or they might be very attractive. And so it was appealing to me to write these stories because romances are like, they're like a fantasy for women to enjoy being, you know, getting to experience what they may not be experienced in real life. And a lot of women are curvy, not all of us.
Sure.
Typical. So yeah, so I did that deliberately, yes.
That's great.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Well, can you tell us about your podcast, Author Like a Boss?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On my podcast, I interview successful indie authors. I interview successful indie authors to find out like what's working, what's not. We focus on writing and marketing. But what's turned out, the longer I've done this, is one of the main things that I focus on, that I ask them about, is like mindset. Mm-hmm. because mindset, like whether you have limiting beliefs about what you can accomplish as a writer, or whether people will like what you're writing, or whether you're good enough to put it out there, those things like are at the core. Like if you feel like you might be able to, if you believe in yourself enough to do it, then the other things you can figure out. But you know, you can figure out the writing, you can figure out the marketing. But the figuring out the mindset for yourself, being empowered to do what you want to do. So we do all of that. You know, the episodes are like an hour, so we touch on quite a few things. We usually get some of each.
But, that's yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, what writing advice would you offer those who are working on their own stories or novels, or someone who's listening who is interested in indie publishing and maybe hasn't hit that publish button yet?
My advice would be to find and spend time with people who are doing it as much as possible. Like, you know, even if you find a podcast that you like this one or mine or anyone, like there's a number of excellent podcasts, Spa Girls. Find somebody that you relate to that inspires you, who's talking about doing it, or find a Facebook group, you know, where they're talking about it, and see and learn, you know, oh, what's happening here? You know, is this a possibility for me? What I found in indie publishing is that the people, the authors, are extremely generous. Like when I started my podcast, I was just like a folk. Like I was just a person. And I was like, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? Which I still kind of do, but like I've been doing it for a while now, so I get easier yeses. But they said yes at the beginning, you know? And so, I mean, you could reach out to me, for heaven's sake, if you're interested, and we can talk about, you know, whatever. Indies, indie publishing, writing, whatever. I'd love it.
That's yeah. Great. Well, what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Around this topic?
Well, just around...
Oh, generally?
Well, I mean, just novels that you've read that you enjoyed, or nonfiction books.
Okay, nonfiction books. Oh, man. I'm looking at my bookshelf like there's this really lovely book that's visually appealing. It's about writing, kind of. I'm called The Wonder Book. I don't know, like it's about art. Mm-hmm. It's art and writing, and
it's Jeff Vandermeer, right?
Yes, isn't that Do you know it? It's beautiful. I just keep that one on my coffee table and just because it's just inspiring on so many levels. And then fiction, I read a lot of romance. I read romance. And I read so much romance that I probably, here's my go-to. I'm rereading a book because I'm rereading All the Pretty Monsters by Christy Cunning. That's an indie author series. It's reverse harem. So if you don't like reverse harem, you know, but she's the best at creating complex plots over a series that I've ever read. Like the complexity of the plots and like bringing everything together, and is like, it's why I can keep rereading it. It's because it interests me every time. And actually I'm just going to plug her here because she was one of the people I was like, oh, I want to interview her, but she actually passed away a year ago. And so that's why I'm plugging her. Cause I'm like, after she passed away, I went and I bought physical copies of all her books because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen to these, whether they'll be accessible or not in the future. Right. And that's one thing I also love about books is, you know, you get to keep that part of that person, what they gave you, forever.
Sure.
You know?
Sure,
so definitely. That's what I'm reading.
Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your romance, steamy romance stories?
Steamy romance stories. I have Liz Fox on Instagram, Liz Fox author on Instagram. If you want to know more about me, like as a person, we're authoring at authorlikeaboss.com. But I'm like, I like to say like I'm very available, but I also go through hermit times when I'm depressed. So send a message. I'll get
sure.
I'll do my best.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Ella Bernard. She's the author of many indie published steamy romance stories under the pen name Liz Fox. And Ella, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Rugged Boss by Liz Fox. Chapter 1, Point of View, Tess. What can I get you today? That's a good question. How about a new job? Or the cure to a cancerous brain tumor? Or my life back? I settle on my regular. A medium chai latte for Tess, please. The barista nods, writes it on the paper cup, and tells me the price. I dig through my briefcase looking for my wallet. Yes, briefcase. I have an interview in an hour, and I thought my stepfather's classic brown leather briefcase looked more professional than my typical hobo purse, which is why I moved everything vital into the new bag. Several copies of my resume, my laptop and cell phone, 3 different lip glosses, a travel-sized lotion, and a stick of deodorant. But apparently not my wallet. Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and gather my wits for a moment. It's already been that kind of week, and it's only Tuesday. I'm sorry, I seem to have misplaced my wallet. I'm about to step out of line when a gravelly voice calls from behind me. Julie, this one's on me. A large, tanned arm reaches around me, passing a black credit card to the barista, Julie. Her cheeks heat as she accepts the card. You're regular today, sir? Yes, please. He steps forward, guiding me to his side with his hand on my lower back. And you'd think if you can remember my regular order that you'd also remember to call me by my name. Julie giggles, swiping his card without looking up. Yes, sir. I mean, Rand. She passes back the card with a shy smile. Your drink should be ready in a minute. We'll be waiting for our drinks over here. Her cheeks flush even deeper red, hearing his chastising tone, and she immediately steps away from the register to help make the drinks. Of course. Thank you, sir. Wait. What just happened? I mean, it's not unheard of to get someone's drink for them, but it's never happened to me. Thank you, I say. The hand at my back guides me to a small table in the corner of the coffee shop. Go ahead and take a seat. The stranger pulls out the chair for me. I'll be right back. I sit, discombobulated, hands clutching my borrowed briefcase. A minute later, my good Samaritan sits down across from me, placing our drinks and a muffin that's been cut in half on the table. I stare at the drink in front of me, blinking. I try, unsuccessfully, to stop the tears from escaping. I know it's a bit ridiculous. Normally, I'm a confident woman, capable of far more than most people expect. But it's been such a tough few weeks. Well, months, really. I've been holding myself together by the threads. Who knew that a simple act of kindness would cause me to fall apart? Grabbing a napkin, I dab at my cheeks. Thank you so much. You didn't have to do this. I look up, trying to smile at the helpful stranger. It's the first time I'm getting a good look at him, and wow, this guy is yummy. No wonder the poor girl couldn't stop blushing. What did she say his name was? Rand? Well, Rand has black hair, a trimmed beard, a strong jaw, and deep brown eyes. He's wearing a simple maroon button-down shirt over a white undershirt. The sleeves are rolled up, exposing powerful forearms that flex as they slide the plate with the muffin over to me. I didn't have to, he says. The deepness of his voice has my heart pumping in overdrive. But I wanted to. Is it too late to swoon? He continues speaking, giving me a chance to regain some equilibrium. Are you okay, Tess? I promise, getting your drink was no big deal. How do you know my name? He taps my cup and smiles. Of course. I take a deep breath, centering myself. I've been doing a lot of that lately. Thank you again. I'm just a little overwhelmed at the moment. It's been a rough week. His eyes are locked on me, like he can see all my secrets. I've never had someone give me this kind of undivided attention, especially not a ridiculously attractive man. It's a little uncomfortable and a whole lot sexy. I'm Rand. I work around here, but I've never seen you before. And believe me, I would have noticed. He glances down. That's when I realize I've been tearing at the napkin. Are you sure you're okay? For some reason, Rand's question tips me over the edge. Maybe it's the genuine concern in his eyes. Whatever the cause, I find myself telling him everything. I feel like such a goof. I switched bags and forgot my wallet. This isn't even my briefcase, I say. I set the bag on the floor, shrugging. It belongs to my stepdad. I brought it because I thought it'd help me get a job, you know, look more professional or something. And I need this job. I just quit school, quit my dream, so I could move back home and help my mom. My stepdad has stage 4 cancer, and she can't take care of him alone. So I'm applying to the only job I could find around here that was even remotely related to my education. I don't know if I'll get it. I don't quite meet their qualifications, but I have to try. Taking a shuddering breath, I continue. I have an interview in an hour and thought I'd get here early to do some research on the company. But now I feel so frazzled, I'm sure I'll bomb the interview and I just don't know what's going to happen. Embarrassed by my verbal dump and unable to look at the man in front of me, I stare at the table. His hands grasp both of mine. They're big, rough, and calloused. The hands of someone who works hard. Tess, you got this, he says. How do you know? I can't believe I'm getting comforted by a strange man in a coffee shop, but at this point, I'll take it where I can get it. Not everyone would do what you're doing. Putting your life on hold to help your family, it takes a special kind of strength. He squeezes my hands like he's emphasizing his point. I don't know what to say. Nodding, I try to pull my hands away. He allows it, but only because he needs one of them to tilt my chin up so I'm looking into his burning brown eyes. I've been around a lot. I've known all different kinds of people. Some people give up. Some people keep fighting. His thumb skims along my jaw, and I breathe in a hint of freshly cut wood. You're a fighter. Rand's words ring with the truth and purity of a church bell through my chest. He's right. I am a fighter. I've gotten this far, and I'll keep going. He must see the new resolve in my eyes because he smiles, leans back, and takes a sip of his drink. What job are you interviewing for, fighter? I have an interview with Moro Construction. All I know is they build houses for the rich and famous. The job is for some kind of administrative assistant.
And you don't meet the qualifications?
I'm 2/3 done with my degree in architecture, and I know how to answer a phone. But they're asking for 3 years of experience as an administrative assistant. I guess they liked my resume enough to give me an interview, but I'm still nervous. I know I can do the job, but you know how it is. Sometimes, even when you're completely capable, if you don't fit the mold, then people don't want you. Rand frowns at me, a contemplative look in his eyes.
I know what you mean, fighter, but I think this time you might just get lucky.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.